Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, be multiplied unto you now and forever. Amen. This morning on Trinity Sunday, today's the Trinity Sunday, I'd like to have us turn to John chapter 16, verses 7 through 15. John 16 and verses 7 through 15. And also we should touch on Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. The great change had come into the kingdom of God. But going back to Matthew and the last chapter of Matthew and the last commands of the Lord Jesus Christ, remembering the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We read in the 28th chapter, verses 18 through 20. This is called the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now my Bible has in the center margin, in verse 19, where it says, Go therefore and teach all nations, as to make disciples or make Christians of all nations, in the name of baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Jesus came to his disciples and he spoke them these words, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. God the Father had given all authority to his Son, all authority over heaven and on earth. And Jesus tells his disciples to go and make disciples, to make disciples as they preach, as they baptize, and they teach. And this command is still in effect today, when he commands us to tell the good news and to bring people into his kingdom. We read in verse 19, Teach, or go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And you know, we all know that when someone near and dear to us is dying, or he's leaving us, they usually leave us with last words. And they're very important words. And Jesus left his disciples with these last words of instruction. And the words that Jesus bring out is the reality of the Trinity. Sometimes we're accused of making it up, that the word or the concept of Trinity, but it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He does not say names in plural, but he says in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It describes the three in one, the nature of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. And then he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I am with you always, until he comes again, the second time. And it is through the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, that he continues to be with us, even unto the end of the world. And now we are in the Trinity season, where we begin. And we know the Lord Jesus as he is teaching us even today. Let's go back to, I got a spider hanging next to my eye here. But going back to the Gospel of John in the 16th chapter, as I mentioned before, that the great change had come into the kingdom of God. That happened on Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured down upon his disciples. And the New Testament church, of which we are part of today, was born. Jesus tells us earlier in the Gospel of Luke, in the 10th chapter, verse 23 and 24, when he says, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see these things, those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Many prophets and kings wanted to see. They were looking forward to this day when the Son of Man was to be delivered and come into this world. This is the hope in the Old Testament as they were waiting for that day. And here he tells his disciples that they saw and they see him. Jesus himself, who journeyed in Jerusalem, in Israel, he was with his disciples, he was limited in his flesh. And he says in the 14th chapter of John, in the 12th verse, when he says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. He that believeth on me, greater work shall he do, because that work will be led by the Holy Spirit through the whole world. Jesus himself, while here, worked amongst the lost sheep of Israel. There were very few Gentiles that were able to hear and to believe the gospel. The disciples worked in Israel when Jesus was alive. And Jesus could only be at one place at a time. And it is the Lord Jesus who told his disciples that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. So for people to believe him, they need to come into contact with him. And even if Jesus sent his disciples out two by two, yet he went with them to the cities where the disciples went. For they had not yet received this power from on high, so they could do the will of God. They didn't understand the will of God yet. We have this example from James and John, the apostles, when Jesus was traveling through the village of Samaria, and as he was, his face was going, as he was going toward Jerusalem, and they knew he was a Jew, they refused to receive him. And so how did James and John react? They said they wanted fire to come down from heaven and to destroy them. We read in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, again of this example, when they tell him James and John saw this, what happened. They said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? But Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, You know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And earlier, just before this example, John came to Jesus and he said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in your name, and we forbid him because he followed not with us. He was not with the apostles, not with the 12. But Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. Don't forbid him. So this was their idea, was not really the idea of what God had intended through giving his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel was to be preached, and it was to be preached all over the earth. And Jesus Christ needed to be all over, for he is the Savior of the whole world, even as we read in the Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The love of Jesus Christ was so great that and it was strong and shown to us through the Holy Spirit that came on Pentecost. And that is what brought life to the disciples and to all those that were converted. They were ministering to the people of that day, and there were 3,000 who were converted, and later we read in the book of Acts where 5,000 were converted. Very rapid enlargement of the gospel. Now, we read in the text, as we read from verse 7 through 15, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, and if I go not away, the Comforter will not come with you or come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." And I'll read verse 16 too. "A little while, and you shall not see me. And again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." There was a reason that Jesus had to go away. The reason was that the Comforter would come. If Jesus departs, he's going to send him. The Comforter that's going to come and bring daylight, bring a new life to his people. Comforter, which is different as night is from day, between life, or that to life and to live or to die. And that's the Spirit that was to lead them. Jesus knew what our warfare is to be. He knows that our warfare is to be against our own flesh and Satan and the world. The warfare that comes from outside. And we need him every day. We need the Holy Spirit to lift our eyes and to look out to Jesus, who won victory for all. Especially when we are tried and we are tempted. And we know that there are trials and temptations that come before us each day, whether they be small or big. And we can thank God that Jesus Christ is the one who was sent here to be our righteousness, to be our wisdom, and to be our redemption, that in him we have life, in him we have grace. And he says, "And when he will come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me." Christian love. We ought to love and to express the love to the world. And by expressing love, we reveal sin, so that we will come to know our true self. And we could declare his righteousness, the righteousness that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made all things right for us, and judgment which has been passed upon Satan. Sin needs to be revealed, not just to my neighbor, but to me. Sin needs to be revealed to every one of us. We have no need of the gospel unless we realize our need. And that's how God's Spirit works. We can hear the word of God again and again, and it passes over, and we think, well, it's good that other people hear it and believe it. But when God begins to deal with us, and he does, each one of us has his visitation, where he visits us and he comes close to us. And we begin to see our own need, where we are wandering in this world of sin and in our own mind and after our own lust, after the lust of our flesh. And when he begins to reveal that we are what we are, wretched people. Some don't like to hear that they are wretched. They say we aren't that wretched, but the Bible says we are wretched. Each one of us, we are dead in our trespasses and sins without Christ and without his word. And he is the one that wants to bring life to us and awaken us. We read in the 15th chapter and the 22nd verse, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. And he that hateth me hateth my Father also. And that's what the Lord Jesus does. He begins to show us his of what we are before him and what he is for us. The thief on the cross, we remember the two thieves that were on the cross, one on the left, one on the right. One was railing against him and says, save yourself and save us if you're truly the Son of God. But the other one said, rebuked the first one and said, we deserve what we're getting, but he has done nothing wrong. And he asked Jesus to remember him. And what does Jesus say? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That was the promise he gave to him. For that thief humbled himself and looked to him for his grace and his mercy. He says, of sin, because they believe not on me. Not believing in Jesus Christ is sin. That's the mother of all sins. Many say that they believe in God, or they believe in the church, or they believe in a lot of things. But still, their lives are in darkness, and they love darkness rather than light. And we can tell that by their evil deeds. Their deeds are from their own flesh and not acceptable to the Father, nor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Of sin, because they don't believe. And he says, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. We sang in the song, O happy condition. He fulfilled it once and for all. He who is holy, he is just. And he is the one that brings us to the presence of God through his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. And he is the one that sent that Spirit upon his people on the day of Pentecost. And that was the preaching that the disciples did. They began to preach the Lord Jesus Christ and life and salvation in him, of whom they persecuted and destroyed and killed. And when they began to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ and exalt him, those listening to them were pricked in their hearts, and they felt like they had been part of that murder of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God themselves. And they cried out, what must they do? What can they do? And the answer was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe in him who forgives all sins and shortcomings. And that is what our word is even exhorted for us today, is to believe on the Lord Jesus and believe our sins forgiven through the blood of Jesus and see him in a new light. New light. He is the one that they killed, and he is the one that heals them. He is the one they despised. But his death on the cross of Calvary proved that he loved them. He died for them to bring each one unto himself. And that has gone on from generation to generation, 2,000 years. And still, as Christians, we gather to hear that message unto ourselves. His death on the cross of Calvary made our personal relationship with God possible and available. When we know Him and His Son, the Lord, when we know God and His Son, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit that comes to live within, when we turn to Him in repentance and believe and receive Him, and as we say, we have Jesus in our hearts, we receive Him. But actually, it is the Holy Spirit that reveals unto us the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is His function, so that we can have a relationship with the Father and the Son. He is the one that opens the gates of heaven so that we can see what has been provided. As Jesus is there on the right hand of the Father interceding in our behalf, your behalf, my behalf, it gets so personal. We think of the millions of people, how can this be? But it is. It is He who created the world, and it is He who brought all things unto us. And by His word, He did this, and it's the same word that we have, life and salvation and the promise of heaven. He says, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Satan is judged. He thought he had victory when he saw to it that Jesus was killed. But Jesus was crucified, and he won the victory, fulfilling the promise in the Old Testament that he shall crush the head of the serpent. And through this work he did. For Satan could not hold him dead. That was his downfall. For Jesus rose again. Satan led mankind to die and to fall, as I said, in the Garden of Eden. But now he was defeated by God's own Son. Even as Jesus tells us in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John and the 23rd verse when he says the hour is come that the Son of Man shall be glorified. And later he says, now is the judgment of this world. How now shall the prince of this world be cast out? And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And this prince of this world is Satan himself. This he said, signifying by what death he should die. Jesus, the people said, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goes. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spoke Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. You are the light. When Christ lives within us, we are his light. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ unto all people. There are two kingdoms. There's only two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. It's the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan. And they cannot exist together. One represents darkness and the other represents light. Those in darkness are brought to the light when the Holy Spirit comes to convict us of sin and shows us the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. What grace has given to us. And he gives us victory over Satan and his power. Our death and the grave will not hold us. The death and the grave did not hold Jesus in his body. And as he did this, how much more will he give his body here on this earth, of which we are part of? We are the body of Christ. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And he is talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of truth in all things. He is the Spirit of truth that lives within us, not only when we gather here together to worship him, but he is the Spirit of truth when we buy something, when we sell something, when we pay our taxes, and what we say and what we do with our friends, our family, and those that are around us. He gives a warning. He says, every idle word that we speak, we shall have to give an account of. And he wants us to know the truth and to trust the truth and to know what is not the truth. For there are a lot of lies that are spread now in this world. The Holy Spirit knows when we are seeking honor for ourselves. The Holy Spirit knows when we're seeking to improve our position. But the Spirit of truth does not go by what people think. There are so many people that think that once people plan and think, if they set up committees or groups, and that's the truth. But it's not necessarily the truth, and many people fall into error. But we know when it's true, when it comes from the Father. And how do we know that it comes from the Father? It's through his word. And to know his word, we need to know, to know his will, we need to know his word and to follow his word. The Holy Spirit, Jesus tells us, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. That is the function of the Spirit, to reveal Christ. And that's why you say, I have Christ living within. And it is the Holy Spirit there telling us. It doesn't speak of itself. It's not his office. But it guides us. It guides us into all truth. And the truth is found in God through Lord Jesus Christ, as I said earlier, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. And so it is that the Spirit is part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus came here to glorify the Father. He gave us a new perspective on the Heavenly Father. And it is the Holy Spirit that his function is to glorify the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Satan begins to speak, he speaks lies, because he is the father of all lies. And when we follow him, we are liars. And it is the Holy Spirit that guides us into the truth. We can see like through a glass, darkly, but we will see him face to face. We see him already, but we shall see him when we depart from this earth. When he makes us and we become new creatures, created in Jesus Christ, and we can behold the glory of the Lord and know that we are blessed in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus has given his command to go and baptize. That is why Jesus, before his death, gave the command to take part in his body and blood, to be reminded again and again that it is he. We baptize him in the name of Jesus. We take the Lord's Supper in the name of Jesus. We say, he says, this is my body that's been broken for you. Remember me. He says, this is my blood that has been shed for you to forgive you your sins. Remember me. We need to remember him. And also he tells us to be faithful unto death, for he is the one that gives us the crown of life. So each one needs to examine ourselves as to where we stand in our relationship with God. And truly, we are redeemed through the blood that was shed. And even today, as we've gathered here, I exhort all of you to believe all your sins and shortcomings forgiven in Jesus' precious name and atoning blood. Remember, he loves you and he wants to keep you as his own. And don't listen to Satan, who wants to bring all kinds of questions and temptations before you, causing doubt in your hearts and your lives. But Christ is the one who comforts his disciples. his own, his people, as he did then and as he is doing today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come before you. We thank you for this word that you have given. We thank you for the promise that we have through this word that gives us life, hope, and salvation, that we can follow you day by day on this journey, and knowing that we too will someday stand before you and answer for what we have done. Bless this church, bless all gathered here, and may we together praise your holy name through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.